From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. April 6, 2024 will be the second anniversary of the signing into law of the Postal Reform Act of 2022. The legislation is among the very few bills that were enacted with broad bipartisan support in the previous Congress. In part, the act relieved the Postal Service of billions of dollars of unfairly imposed debt, enabled the agencies to integrate retiree health benefits with Medicare, and established a public online portal which enables postal customers to monitor postal performance. With me today is one of the prime original co-sponsors of the bill, who at the time of its introduction and enactment chaired the House Subcommittee on Government Operations, Representative Jerry Connolly of Virginia. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Congressman Connolly.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be with you.
I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge that this past week we commemorated, in Representative Connolly's opinion, the holiest day of the year, that is St. Patrick's Day. I understand the patron saint of Ireland is celebrated for having driven snakes out of Ireland.
Couldn't we use them here in Congress
today? That was going to be my question. Seeing what's been going on in Washington, do you think there's a need for a snake chaser such as St. Patrick in the nation's capital?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And with a shillelagh and everything.
Yes.
I mentioned in the introduction the Postal Reform Act passed with overwhelming bipartisan support, passing the House by a vote of 342-92 and the Senate by a vote of 79-19. Over the past few years, very few bills passed with that level of support. What did it take to accomplish that achievement?
I think it took a lot of education over time. For example, helping people understand that it was Congress that imposed the retiree health care prepayment requirement. And we needed to fix that. That was unique to the Postal Service. It was absurd in terms of requiring like 80% be in hand. And it put a huge debt burden unnecessarily on the Postal Service. So when we finally got that legislation fixed, that alleviated and wiped out $57 billion of debt, and over the next 10 years, another $50 billion that otherwise would have been incurred. I mean, that's a huge lift for the Postal Service and allowed them the breathing space to try to get back into the black. So really important. The other part of that legislation I guess I would highlight is it strengthened the six-day delivery commitment. For years we fought about whether the Postal Service, because of losing revenue and drops in volume, should go to 5 days instead of 6 days. I've always had the point of view, 6 days gives us a competitive advantage, actually. And you're going to lose customers if you do that. And you're not going to exploit the opportunity 6 days provides. And as we know, people are now used to getting seven-day delivery. So giving away one of those days would have been penny-wise and pound-foolish from my point of view, and I'm so glad we were able to get that concept into the bill and strengthen that six-day delivery as well.
Now, there were other provisions in the bill that were crucial. In retrospect, with 2 years of hindsight, are there any provisions of the bill that you would like to go back to and revise to make them better or to eliminate provisions in the bill that were in it that should not have been in it?
Well, I had introduced a bill that was comprehensive reform and addressed lots of other things. Consolidating the Inspector General's office and strengthening it, working on postal police so that we're making a safer environment both in the postal facility and while people are on their routes, which has only become more of a problem. Things like truck safety. When the Postal Service contracts out for independent trucks to deliver the mail, we have some safety issue concerns. And so there are lots of other ancillary issues. I'm a big, you know, proponent in allowing 1,000 flowers to bloom for the Postal Service in terms of other sources of revenue to enhance their core mission and to keep them viable. None of that got in the stripped-down postal reform bill. So we basically had some, you know, a handful of key elements where we could get broad bipartisan support, and the philosophy was we'll put off to another day addressing these other issues. And that worked. We were able to get the votes, but I think, frankly, I think it was also a missed opportunity. We could have done more.
That other day is not going to be within the current, the 118th Congress. Looking ahead to the 119th Congress, where there is a possibility that the Democrats could reclaim the majority in the House of Representatives. I mean, I've been looking at the analytics. It's going to be a close election, possibility that the majority will change. Do you think these are issues that could be brought up in the 119th Congress should the Democrats regain the majority in the House?
I think there is a good possibility of that, but we don't have consensus within the postal coalition. So some unions favor Louis DeJoy's 10-year plan. I do not. I think, in fact, it's proving harmful every day of the week. And after what Congress did in postal reform, which was supposed to set the stage for returning us into the black, what have we got today? We've got a $6.5 billion deficit this year. So much for a successful 10-year plan. And so I think we have to do a lot of work internally as a postal family to come to consensus on what do we need to be doing moving forward.
Let me talk about one of the issues that I know that the Postmaster General, at the very least, has ignored to some extent. I think that he's publicly stated that he really doesn't pay much attention to this data point, and that is the provision in the bill that was promoted by the current chairman of the Oversight and Accountability Committee, that's Representative James Comer, which established a publicly available web portal where anyone can monitor the local performance of their postal operation. As recently as a couple of weeks ago at an event in which postal managers participated, the Postmaster General did not think that performance was terribly important, particularly on-time, first-class mail delivery. Do you think performance is important? And do you think that provision in the bill made a difference?
I think that provision in the bill is a very useful way for the public to track performance of their local postal system. I think it is a way of enshrining accountability for the USPS itself. And I'm given the poor performance, the dropping performance rates across the country, I'm not surprised Louis DeJoy doesn't want to be accountable.
Yeah, and I would notice, and I've spoken with your staff members about this and other members from the Virginia delegation, how the consolidation realignment in Richmond, Virginia has adversely impacted performance, even in your district, all the way from Southern Virginia up to the Washington metropolitan area. Have you heard from your constituents about performance?
It isn't a huge issue yet in Northern Virginia. I hear anecdotally people complaining about, hey, I didn't get something at all, or, gee, there was no mail delivery on Tuesday, or, you know, it was several days late. But there are other parts of the country where I do hear, you know, serious concerns about delivery. And, you know, I think it's important to go over, if I can, Bob, just some data on what I think is almost, you know, we're approaching crisis-level connections between Louis DeJoy's price increases and the relationship with volume and delivery. So last year's unprecedented twice-a-year price increase resulted in a 10% price increase for first-class mail. And, you know, as a result, we've seen a volume decline of 175 million pieces, or 2.4%. First-class mail declined 6.1% to 46 million pieces, the lowest since 1968. Think about that. 56 years. The worst in 56 years. So, you know, and by the way, this is true for package delivery, second class, you name every category, we are seeing steep declines in volume because, you know, you can raise the rates and claim from a gross revenue point of view, you're going to make money. What it doesn't factor in is the net revenue. But does that lose customers? Does that, in fact, affect volume? And it does. It clearly does. The data shows that. So I'm not at all surprised Louis DeJoy doesn't want to advertise that data in the public.
Does performance factor into this also? The Postal Service doesn't really have a communications monopoly that it used to have. So it's competing not only against FedEx, UPS, and other carriers of parcels, small parcels, for example, but they're competing with digital media. So DeJoy and the institution has pivoted more to putting greater emphasis on parcels, but parcels don't provide the revenue that first-class mail does. What strategy ought the Postal Service employ to recapture the revenue that it's losing, the net revenue it's losing?
So there are a lot of factors, not all of them within Louis DeJoy's control, but I think he would have to admit, at least any outside expert I think would admit, that his initial projections on parcel deliveries, for example, or the net revenue that would be generated by twice a year rate increases, which, by the way, as you know, is unprecedented, were wrong. And they overstated the positive impact and understated the negative impact. And thus, we're losing $6.5 billion this last year. So I just think it's time to really reexamine that 10-year plan and to get serious about trying to make improvements in terms of performance, because performance is related to business, to the revenue. It's not like I don't have alternatives, especially in parcels. So let's talk about parcels. So for a while there during the pandemic, the Postal Service was actually succeeding. Part of it was a dedicated workforce that was integral to the community and highly prized and valued, because they were performing during the worst of the pandemic when everything else was shut down. They were doing it on time. And the public, not going to stores, was relying more and more for online ordering and parcel delivery at home, largely through the Postal Service. And so we actually saw an increase both in volume and in revenue during that time period. But that was not sustainable, right? Consumer behavior has kind of returned to the pre-pandemic kind of level, maybe slightly increased, but not as dramatic as originally projected. And so you've lost revenue from that drop in parcel delivery. And when you've enshrined actual degradation in on-time delivery, right? So we're now at whatever it is, average of 83%, we were in the 90 percentile. Well, that has an impact on my choice of whether I'm going to rely on the Postal Service or UPS or FedEx, or Amazon for that matter, right? I'm used to ordering things from Amazon and getting it the next day. And so that's what the competition is. And I think USPS, broadly speaking, is falling short of meeting the competition.
The United States Constitution provides Congress with the authority to establish a postal operation. What role should Congress have in the operations of the United States Postal Service?
Well, as you know, we have passed legislation giving a lot more autonomy to the Postal Service, and I don't particularly want to infringe on that. I don't think it's a good idea for Congress to be running the Postal Service, and I don't want to return to a system of, you know, a spoil system where postmasters are political appointees. I want to see an enhancement of the professionalization of the Postal Service, but I also want to see the Postal Service come into the 21st century. I want us to have the flexibility that when we try something and it doesn't work out, or in fact it's injurious, we're able to pull a plug and try something else. I believe, frankly, Louis DeJoy is a rigid, ideological postmaster. I guess he's committed to the Postal Service, but what he's doing and has been doing since he took office, I think has, on balance, been extremely injurious to the Postal Service, even despite the fact that we got postal reform and gave over $100 billion of relief to the Postal Service, maybe the largest single infusion of fiscal relief ever for the Postal Service in the history of Congress. And yet, we're still operating in the red, badly.
There are two current vacancies on the Postal Board of Governors, and on the 29th of February, President Biden nominated former Secretary of Labor Marty Walsh to fill one of those vacancies. There's another vacancy that will come up in December. If you were sitting here with President Joseph Biden, what recommendation would you provide him with making nominations to the Board of Governors?
I applauded President Biden moving very swiftly after he was inaugurated to fill some vacancies in the Postal Board of Governors, which, frankly, President Obama was slow to do. So I was grateful for that. But unfortunately, the people he selected have quickly been co-opted by Louis DeJoy. And I don't believe that they have brought to the table the kind of independent, objective, skeptical perspective that board members ought to have about management, because they represent us too, right? They represent customers, they represent Congress, and they've all been co-opted from what I can see. And so I hope that in Marty Walsh and in the other position that we're going to have some people who are willing to kind of look askance at what's happening, raise serious questions, and understand what's at stake here. You know, going along to get along with Louis DeJoy is costing us $6.5 billion of red ink every year. And that is not sustainable. And I'm telling you that there are a lot of people who are going to say, if the postal reform relief wasn't enough and you're still losing $6.5 billion a year, then maybe more radical solutions like privatization are in our future. And that's something I have fought for 15 years to try to avoid, but I need help, and I don't see that I'm getting it either from the existing Board of Governors and certainly not from the Postmaster General.
Last question, Mr. Connolly. This is an election year, 2024. In the 2020 election and the 2022 election, the Postal Service played a vital role in delivering Democracy for America through absentee mail and absentee ballots. What role do you think the Postal Service will play in the 2024 election, and are there threats out there?
I think a lot of it, first of all, you're right. The Postal Service proved critical to elections in the 2020 cycle in the midst of a pandemic. And lots of people relied on it and counted on it. And this brings me back to Louis DeJoy. So when he was appointed in July of that year, he did everything he could to diminish public confidence in the ability of the Postal Service to deliver a ballot. He also undertook measures that made it harder to have reliability within the postal community and with customers. And that isn't just my opinion. Several courts of law, in enjoining him from some of his changes, cited his motivation to affect the election, to erode confidence in the hopes that it would affect the outcome on behalf of the man who was his big patron, Donald Trump. So we have a public record in courts of law saying that. So here we are 4 years later, and has this tiger changed his stripes? Is he now suddenly committed to making sure the Postal Service is an objective, neutral facilitator of ballots to get to electoral boards on time? You know, we need things like logos and barcodes, and we also need cooperative relationships between the local postmaster and local electoral boards. Now, like where I live, we do have those kinds of informal arrangements so that they're a priority. Ballots, when the postmaster sees that, he or she understands that's a priority and that's got to get to the electoral board quickly so that those ballots get counted. So some of the relationship is informal, some of it is formal, some of it is new procedures and markings to try to facilitate this. But all of it's more complicated if you have a recalcitrant postmaster general who's not really committed to the mission.
I want to thank Congressman Connolly for joining me on this week's NAPS Chat and to wish him a belated Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, Bob.
And I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going